JG3.
Number 12A.
Therefore, we see that, of course, what's true about us is true about the whole universe, including man. The universe is the same under the same law of success mechanism. The earth is in all mankind. So what blesses one blesses all. We see what we see about ourselves is true about every other idea of God. So therefore we see, therefore we, through the law of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, that we, our identity, step by step, is through the law of creativity, therefore a success, because it is, a mind is overcoming mortal mind within us, spirit is overcoming of the material duality within us, soul is overcoming the belief we're mind in a matter body, principle overcoming we're under the government of principle, life overcoming the belief in death, truth, mortal consciousness, and love, fear, hate, jealousy. Then we see, oh yes, well then, I want to know more. That's just a statement. What makes it so in spite of air? Well, then, that whole truth that we are, where we are that ideal idea, individualized and adapted to a specific situation, as that whole ideal Christ consciousness, therefore that principle says yes, that we are that whole ideal, and therefore it's going to come out in your life, in our life, that we are that ideal in spite of error. And I do that through the law of translation and retranslation. We'll see in more detail. And therefore, what brings that ideal to every single aspect of our life, what brings that fact to our life is that potential principle as life, truth, and love is just flooding us every moment, and that as that principle, life, truth, and love is flooding our consciousness every moment with that our ideal idea of what we are, and it's identifying what we are in spite of sense testimony. It's identifying us with the principle, and it's reflecting us with the principle in spite of duality, and therefore it's manifesting us as an idea in mind, as that universal idea, a blessing in spite of mortal mind, and retranslating out of us from the first degree mortal mind through the human mind back into the realm of the divine mind. So we get that law of translation and retranslation, as we'll see. And the outcome is, therefore, that we are as big as principle. We really are then that ideal idea, therefore, that is in the realm of love, maintained by life, cared for by love, and therefore our identity as mind, spirit, and soul is as big as principle mind. It's identified with principle, it reflects principle, and as life, truth, and love, it reflects the whole universe, including earth, including all mankind, and we get that infinite reflection and brotherhood of the ideas. And finally, we say, well, our identity came forth for the glory of principle, love, which has always been right in plan in being, and therefore we can see that our identity is always under the omni-action of principle. And anyhow, we are just a numeral of infinity, which is constantly being restructured by spirit as the ideal form of truth. And we exist as an idea in mind, as a patterned idea in mind, and in the plan of love, always under the omni-action of principle. And therefore, it just takes our complete successful idea that our identity as a universal blessing, which is always under the omni-action of principle, right back up to the level of principle itself, and that ideal identity that we are is free of error through the translation and retranslation, and it can spiral higher and higher from a boundless basis as long as we maintain that in consciousness. If not, the Christ will come again in its power, descent and downward causation and upward causation to retranslate out of consciousness that isn't like that principle. So we see then, we take a look a little more at the Word, at Christian Science, and just see, according to the word order, how we are programmed for success in spite of error. And always the word then is the statement. So this law of the word order on page 48 in the study aid, this is just an exercise we do then, always knowing that we're at that point of the word at Christian Science. And again, the synonyms remain the same. It's principle now in relationship to what? Principle in its relationship to error. That's a funny thing to say, but it's principle dissolving error, isn't it? An erroneous standpoint within consciousness. So the accentuation is on principle, and its relationship is that it dissolves what? Error, isn't it? Those are the factors. Principle, one factor. Its relationship is that it's dissolving through the translation and retranslation. The other factor under consideration is it's dissolving error. So therefore, the ideas that we would use under the synonymous terms here is specific to the word at Christian Science, as it always has been along the line, and we can drill. That can be our homework, because we're just painting the big brushstrokes now of these laws. We have the tonality of what it means to think in categories, so in our quiet time, we can see how the ideas under this law are the word at Christian Science, tonality ideas. So staying with giving the universe, including man, including our identity as a divine success, already the work is done. Why can we go out and know that our life is a success, is a universal blessing? Because of this law of creativity. Because we can see now at the word, that that mind, which is God, always from the level of science itself. This is not a watertight compartment. It's not a watertight level. Always the higher includes the lower. The lower doesn't know the higher. It can't exercise with it. We saw that a one-dimensional consciousness can't recognize a two. A two can't recognize a third dimension. The third can't recognize the fourth, and so forth. So therefore we see, but the higher always includes the lower. So we always go out then from that level of science itself, that infinite mind being its own infinite mind, on the level of divine science that is operating out of the whole of mind, through the whole of mind, the outcome as the whole of mind, for the glory of the whole of mind, which is coming forth through the impulse of life, truth and love, and now it's that mind is coming forth and saying, I am mind, you see? That's the first thing it's going to say is, I am mind. I am not mortal mind. I objectify myself as intelligence. Therefore, I come to your human standpoint that thinks you're outside of your being programmed for success. I just come to your human standpoint objectively as wisdom. Wisdom comes to us. We don't, and therefore, humanly subjectively, it comes, and therefore, humanly subjective, it affects our attitude. And our attitude is when wisdom comes to us, we are wise enough to seek God. We're wise enough to seek that one mind, that all-knowing, intelligent mind, because if we do, it's going to let us, allow us to realize in every detail of our life that we're programmed for success, and therefore it's going to analyze and uncover and annihilate the belief that we go out from ignorance, which would feel that our life isn't programmed for success. And the same thing with spirit, you see, we always get the impetus from that one, the level of science itself, that one infinite spirit being its own infinite spirit through the law of divine science and the law of absolute Christian Science says, I am spirit, I am not matter, Therefore, I objectify myself as the only substance, the only reality. That comes to the human. That comes to my humanly objective standpoint as purity. What do you mean, purity? Well, purity isn't just a statement taken out of context. It comes to as purity. Pure what? Pure to focus on wisdom, that we have the ability to focus only on what is real, because wisdom means the ability to know what is right from wrong. And so we, at this point, that spirit comes as the ability to focus only on what is right. And if we focus only on the wisdom and intelligence of mind, then we choose the spiritual. And we, therefore, are relieved of duality because we focus on the one value logic of spirit and all that it has to tell us. And the same with soul, in that infinite matrix of infinity is comes through the law of divine science and absolute Christian science, saying, I am soul, I am not sense testimony, therefore I objectify myself as the only ego or identity going on in being. And therefore, we can see that it comes to our humanly objective standpoint as spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding what? That we have the wisdom to know right from wrong, the purity to focus only on the right. The right is that we're the intelligent idea of God. And therefore, that is based on spiritual understanding to know we're the intelligent idea of God. And that gives us the attitude to self-abnegate our ego for the divine, which overcomes sin. And sin just means missing the mark. We would miss the mark to say that we are ignorant. And therefore, that same thing, we just flow down that principle out of the womb of science itself through the law of divine science and absolute Christian science, comes and says, I am principle, I am not personality, I am objectifying myself as the infinite one, I come as spiritual power. Spiritual power is a scientific truth. It doesn't just happen. We all want spiritual power. Spiritual power is a fourth in the chain of the third degree, that because we have the wisdom and the purity to focus on the fact that we are of that intelligent mind, and we have that ability because of our spiritual scientific understanding, that brings a spiritual power, you see. To do what, really? To be obedient to that principle, that we're only going to focus on the purity, that we are that intelligent idea that is programmed for success, and therefore that gives up any sense that we'd be obedient to any other sense of an anthropomorphic sense of a deity telling us what to do. We're being informed by the laws of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love in an exact ordered way, step by step, according to the law of creativity, really why we are programmed for success as an intelligent idea of that principle. Therefore, that one life of science itself, working through the law of divine science, and absolute Christian science says, I am life, I am not death. I objectify myself as the infinite individuality and eternality of life. And that comes to us at the human to love. It's that love what? To love the principle and the willingness to give up our mortal concept of life, you see. So we love that principle that has brought us the wisdom, the purity, and the spiritual understanding and the spiritual power to love that principle so much that we're willing to lay down our mortal concept of life, not to lay down the mortal and die, but to lay down our mortal concept about life, or our mortal concept that we are ignorant and don't feel we're going to be a success. And that makes us give up our pride of life, of an individual life separate from God. And then the same with truth comes to us through the law of science itself, divine science and absolute Christian science, and says, I am truth. I am not error. I am of a divine consciousness, not erroneous consciousness. Therefore, I objectify myself on you. I come to each one of us as health. We all want health. We see health is a logical flow. It comes at a point, a six. That healthy state we all look for is really the outcome of our wisdom and purity and spiritual understanding and that spiritual power to love that principle so much we lay down our false concept of that we're ignorant, and that gives us that healthy whole attitude that we are that intelligent, unique idea of God programmed for success, and therefore we affirm the truth about our success and we deny any error about it. And therefore, as love through the law of science itself and divine science and absolute Christian science comes and says, I am love, I am not nothingness, I objectify myself as perfection in your whole life, and therefore that comes and impacts us all as holiness. Again, holy is being whole within the system. That's what holy means, to be that universal blessing within the system. But we see that only happens through the chain of wisdom, purity, spiritual understanding, spiritual power, love. Health is holiness. Therefore, we live and move and have our being within that holistic realm of our perfect success identity. And that makes the attitude in us that we're one with that intelligent, successful identity that we are. And that overcomes the belief of nihilism or nihilism, however you want to see it there, that we are sent out from the presence of the Lord into the land of Nod. We don't fear that because we see then our life is programmed for success because we had to be, according to the law of creativity. It brings out our inseparable union with the perfection of love, doesn't it? It's just step by step showing, giving us more truth content about why our life is programmed for success. We don't believe it in the mortal. We don't believe it with our human mind. We need more information, don't we? So by going over this law, we see this law is happening to us. And we see now, Paul Davies says that there is the, and Mrs. Eddy, of course, he's just the impact of what Mrs. Eddy saw, that there's reality and there's consciousness, and that there's different states and stages of consciousness, and the state doesn't have to inform the law of where it is in a state of ignorance about its successful identity. The law comes to us and proves to us, in spite of our ignorance, that we are a success. And this is just giving us more information on how it's done. Incredible. And so as we exercise in it, we should be feeling stronger about that fact. Then we see in the law of the Christ order on page, therefore, 52, that Christ order then, therefore, is that law of translation and reformation. This just shows us in more ideal way, a more step-by-step way, how that ideal truth that we are of the Christ, that ideal standard of being that ideal, infinitely individualized and adapted to a specific situation as a universal blessing, how that now gets rid of any claim against us that isn't like that standard. The word order just stated that the law, that it will happen. Now the Christ order sets it in operation. These are the power tones that we rely on, that are bringing to us that fact. And if we work in consciousness with this law of translation and reformation, it is more information, another law that should establish within our consciousness even firmer that our life is programmed for success. See, every single law gives us more information, doesn't it? About why, that we are the infinite calculus of ideas. What the laws are doing to make it such. So here in the Christ order, we see, oh, we can't miss the mark. We can't be in the land of sin, always missing the mark in our consciousness. That the Christ idea is going to take us out of that sinful state, so to speak, of being deviated or always looking away from the point of it all. And the point of it all, therefore, is that Christ really is coming to us through the laws of life, truth, and love, through the principle life, truth, and love. Now, this principle life, truth, and love is a unique combination here at the Christ order at Christian Science. And we want to ask ourselves, why principle life, truth, and love at this point? Why isn't it love, truth, life, principle, or some other type of combination? Why do the synonymous terms take on the form of a principle life, truth, and love? For what purpose? What's this law about? Translating? And is translation just a statement? No. Translation, Charlie, is an activity, isn't it? And does it need power to translate? We do need power. So at this point, we want to know the power that is behind the translation of God coming to us and retranslating out of us everything that isn't like God, so it leaves us healed as that programmed identity. So it's a power tone, isn't it? The power tone of translation and retranslation, which is going to leave our nature and God's nature one and the same thing. So, Charlie, is it first that it's a power descent that we feel, or do we have to struggle with the condemnation of Adam to till the ground? Why didn't this translation start with perhaps soul, spirit, mind? All right. That soul would leave, that our identity was a condemnation of Adam to till the ground, that somehow we would have the responsibility for this translation, wouldn't we? Or that it could, if soul, spirit, and mind was the started up here, if we said soul, spirit, and mind, and started soul, spirit, and mind up here, with soul first up here, would leave us with the feeling we had to make the translation, wouldn't we? Or we would feel we would have to do it for others. It would be our identity, our responsibility. But we see that our responsibility is just an attitude, a human standpoint of either we let it happen or we don't. And so therefore, our responsibility is not to do it for ourselves or others. It's not that we tend the regulator of mankind, because God gets after us for adjusting what he adjusts. Here we see that law of adjustment and that we don't need to study the ark. That principle of studying the ark itself. It's what's most important here is the human standpoint. Do we let the translation happen easily through science, or do we resist it through suffering? So we see, therefore, we need not mind, spirit, and soul here. We need the power tones of principle, life, truth, and love. So we see that principle says, all right, I'm going to show that your life's a success because I'm going to come right to you out of the infinite potential power of principle, out of the reservoir of principle. As life, truth, and love, I principle, am that dynamic power. As truth, I am that conscious power. As love, I am that power of total engagement that is coming right down to your specific situation through the identifying, translating power of soul, through the ordering power of spirit. I'm diversifying, classifying, and individualizing everything in your life so you can't miss the mark and be a success. And therefore, I'm coming down and I appear as the manifesting power. I manifest everything in your life through the identifying power of soul and the ordering power of spirit, diversifying, classifying, and individualizing. So I come right down to your specific situation and I meet your specific need. I bring the ideal idea to you that makes you realize that you are a universal blessing, that you are programmed for success because you exist as a principal idea. Once we understand that, you see, that's the point in the Christ translation. We understand it. We let that idea happen in our life. If we let that idea that we are an ideal idea programmed for success, then in our life, that principled potential power becomes the divine authority of our life. That life dynamic power becomes a spontaneous generating power in our life. That truth conscious power becomes a penetrating dominating power in our life. That love power of total engagement becomes a power of salvation in our life. So therefore that soul identifying power begins to transform everything in our life through its transforming power. And that spirit ordering power begins to purify everything in our life. So finally, we, according to the manifesting power and the enlightening power of our life, we let the fact occur within our consciousness that we are that ideal universal salvation, and that automatically through where there is light, there can be no darkness, analyzes, uncovers, and annihilates any claim against us that we aren't that ideal idea. But if we resist it, we know then that it's still going to happen, but in spite of error. So what happens if we resist it? Therefore, that principle, which is a potential power, which is, when we let it happen, becomes our divine authority. When we resist that power flow, and as Max Kapler's often done taking this law, he says it's like standing under Niagara Falls. This law just comes to us, that principal potential power just pours down on us. We can't miss it. It's like a waterfall coming forth from the potential reservoir of principle that we can't ignore it as our divine authority. If we resist it, it becomes an imperative power and an apodictical power. We can't resist being under the flow of principle's power. And that life power, which is a dynamic power, when we let it happen, is a spontaneous generating power within us. And if we resist it, that power becomes an irrepressible power, an irresistible power. It just ups the ante a little bit, doesn't it? And then we see that that truth consciousness power, if we let it happen, is a dominating power in our life. But if we don't let it happen, it's crushing power. We learn that through the minor prophets, doesn't it? That those power tone of the minor prophets say that that truth consciousness crushes to powder everything that isn't like that truth and leaves only the remnant left, doesn't it? And therefore, if we resist the love power of total engagement and don't let it become the power of our salvation, it ups the ante as an enforcing power. And what happens if we have to put ourselves under the imperative power of principle, the life irresistible power of life, the crushing power of truth, and the enforcing power of love, we're going to suffer.